بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. دعاء is requesting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill a particular need. Dua is beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Dua is the channel through which a person gets in touch with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. الدعاء مخ العبادة. دعاء is the essence of devotion and worship. Salat is devotion, fasting is devotion, zakat is devotion, tahajjud is devotion, qurbani is devotion. Dua is also devotion, but dua is the essence, it is the brain of all the devotions. الدعاء هو العبادة. دعاء is عبادة. Nowadays, if we ponder over our situation and if we look very carefully at our circumstances, then we will come to this conclusion that dua is merely a ritual now. It is a mere practice. After salat, people will raise their hands for a few moments. Some may not even utter a single word. Some may ask for something without knowing what they are asking for. The mind is somewhere else. Certain formulas of dua and zikr they have learned, which is repeated all the time they raise their hands for dua. Similarly, other than the particular moments when one is habituated to making dua, nobody will resort to dua to try and find a solution to his or her problem. So first thing we need to remember is that dua is a separate, independent ibadat. Just as we take out special time to read the Quran, we take out specific time to perform salat, specific time to do zikr and tasbih, similarly, we should give the same importance to the dua. Take out specific time for dua. Fix a time for dua. After salat, after any good amal, good deed, when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we make dua, we should concentrate. We should try to understand what we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should have this firm belief and yakin that whatever I am asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful to fulfill my need. And we should have total hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will inshallah accept my dua and solve my problem. Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that is there any problem that cannot be solved by dua? Is there any problem that cannot be solved through dua? There isn't. Because dua is a request to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove a particular problem, and there is no problem that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot remove. So whenever we perform a good amal, recitation of the Quran, salat, zikr, tasbih, any other amal, after the amal, it is advisable to make dua. We should learn certain formulas of dua from books, from elders, from ulama. Certain dua which encompasses the general needs of every Muslim. Other than that, we should specify a time when we can sit down and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes. Dua is a devotion which is most difficult to practice. If I was to tell all of you that can everybody pick up a copy of the Quran and read the Quran until 11 o'clock, I will speak to you at 11 o'clock. It won't be too difficult. If I was to say pick up a tasbih and read some formulae of zikr until 11 o'clock, it won't be difficult. If I was to say that continue performing salat until 11 o'clock for half an hour, you will manage. But if we were told that until 11 o'clock remain engaged in dua, we will find it very difficult. We will find it very difficult. When we engage ourselves in dua during the month of Ramadan, before Maghrib, in Tahajjud, or when we are in Haramain Sharifain, after 5-7 minutes we tend to think that I have been making dua for half an hour. When we look at the watch after we complete our dua, it is only 7 minutes. This is because we ourselves have not come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the means of dua. If we are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if we feel the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are beseeching Him, when we are asking Him, imagine the enjoyment that the person will find, the comfort that the person will find, that I am confining in my Creator and I am telling Him all my problems. When a child speaks to the father or mother about his or her problems, whether the father can help or not, whether the mother is prepared to remove the problem or not, just by talking to the parents and confining in them, a person finds a lot of satisfaction. So what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always answer our prayers. Sometimes He will give what we ask. We have asked Him for a house, He will give the house. He will make the means for the house. Sometimes He will not give what we ask for, but He will substitute that with something else which was more better for us. Maybe we are asking for a house and a car was more important for us, so He would make means of a car. Maybe we are asking for a blessing, for a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His knowledge is aware that removing a particular difficulty that is going to befall my servant is more important. If I give him a house, a bungalow, and if that calamity befalls him, what is the point? So through the barakat of that dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the difficulty. Or sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treasures that dua, and on the day of Qiyamah He will give the reward for that dua. And the servant will say, "Oh Allah, I cannot remember making so much ibadat. Where has this reward come from?" So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "Do you remember that once you were asking me for this item, you asked for so many times and I did not accept your dua? Some other time you were asking for this and I did not accept your dua. It was not that your dua was not being accepted. I was accepting your dua and I wanted to reward you in the hereafter. So all this I have treasured for you." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that at that time, that person will say to himself that I wish none of my duas were accepted in the world. So every dua is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there are different ways of acceptance. So when we must take out time, specific time, and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with total attention. And dua is the essence of ibadah. Why? What is the purpose behind ibadah and devotion? When we are performing salat, what is the aim behind salat? When we are fasting, what is the aim behind fasting? When we are giving zakat, what is the aim behind giving zakat? Any devotion for that matter. When we are performing hajj, umrah, the aim behind, or the common aim and objective behind every ibadat is that we recognize this fact that I am weak and my creator is all powerful. We recognize this fact and we realize that I have to remain in this world according to his wishes and desires, not the way I want to. We realize that I am a weakling, I am totally in need of him and he is not in need of anybody. We become humble. We should be overcome with humility. We accept this fact that I am his slave, I am his servant. I have no virtue, no excellency whatever. That is why we are asked to come and stand in front of Allah. Then we are asked to bow down before him, then prostrate before him and accept his greatness. Out of all the ibadat and devotions, there is one ibadat only which guarantees this humility. In salat, when we are in salat, sometimes that salat can become the means of pride. Fasting can become the means of pride. Recitation of the Quran can become the means of pride. Umrah and Hajj, same, any devotion. But when you are making dua, a person who is making dua can never be proud, because at that time he feels helpless and he is asking for something. He accepts this fact that he is all powerful and I am nothing. So that is why it is said, dua o mukhul ibadah. Dua is the essence of ibadah. So we should specify some time for ibadat, take out some time for ibadat, for dua, and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another mistake that we make is when we are making dua, at that time we in reality don't have this faith that this dua is definitely going to be accepted. For example, somebody who is suffering from cancer, what are the odds? What does his mind tell him? His mind tells him that I am going to die. Then why are you making dua? It's only a try. If you ask him, what's deep in your heart, what faith do you have? Is this dua going to solve this problem? No. When we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any faith, without any yakin, how do we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help to come? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith, Qudsi ana inda zanne abdi bi, I deal with people according to their thoughts about me. If they have this thought about me that I will solve the problem, then I will solve the problem. If the thought is that no, I will not solve the problem, I will not solve the problem. So when we are making dua, we should have this firm resolution that we are making dua because we are sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help is going to come and he will definitely solve my problem because he is all powerful. So number one, dua should not remain a mere ritual. It should be given its own status. We should make as much dua as possible after particular devotions. And then there should be a fixed time for dua. And lengthen the time of dua. If in the initial stages we do not know what to ask for 20 minutes, 15 minutes, continue repeating the same thing. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, make me from the pious servants. Oh Allah, grant me your... grant me your nearness, grant me your love, grant me your pleasure, grant me Jannatul Firdaus, keep me steadfast on Deen. Oh Allah, give all these things to my family, my children, my associates, the whole Ummah. Continue asking for the same thing. And number two, It should not remain a mere ritual, number one. It should be given a special status, independent status. And number two, when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should ask with total faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant me what I want. Will grant me what I want. And number three, when we are making dua, we have certain items that we normally ask. Good, alhamdulillah, oh Allah, give me death on iman, oh Allah, give me jannah, oh Allah, save me from jahannam. And after that, 2-3 minutes of these items of the akhirat we ask for, and then the other 15-20 minutes, all worldly matters. Which is more important? We have been instructed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to ask for each and every item of this world and the hereafter. So much so that he said that if your shoelace breaks, before going into the market to buy the shoelace, turn to Allah and make dua that, oh Allah, I want a shoelace, and then you go to the market. We should ask everything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is an ibadat. Whether we can afford it or not, we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we should also consider the items of the hereafter, which are much more important than the items of this world. And number four, we should make sure that we do not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something which is unlawful. Many young people don't realize, and they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they ask Him for those things which are a cause of His displeasure. Inshallah, if we keep these a few points in mind, and whatever our respected Maulana Ayaz Sahib has said to us, then inshallah we will benefit greatly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to turn to Him in every matter, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to find solution to all our problems through the medium of dua. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill all our lawful needs of this world and the hereafter. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us from all the calamities of this world and the hereafter. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.